Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And this segment, I am joined by the Managing Director of HEAT, Melissa Davis. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rick.
Now, this has been a big push that's been going on here for a little while to bring awareness to energy conservation and sort of changing habits. It's all part of what's been called the Georgetown University Energy Prize. And we're going to talk about all of that. I got to admit that this process sort of got started during my brief sabbatical from the radio station. So when I came back, I was like, what is this Georgetown University Energy Prize? And I had to do a little bit of research to kind of get educated and caught up on it. So I thought it would be a good time to use Copper Country Today to do the same for our listeners who may have heard about this program when it came out and some of the updates. But maybe, there's a lot of people out there who aren't aware that this is not something that a group called HEAT is doing. This is something our entire community is doing, and HEAT is the group that is just helping bring awareness to it. So first, Melissa, why don't you tell me about, what is this Georgetown University Energy Prize and why we should be involved?
Well, the Georgetown University Energy Prize is a $5 million prize that is going to be awarded at the end of 2016, early 2017, to the community out of 50 contestants that has saved the most electricity and heat between 2015 and 2016.
How do they measure how much we're saving? Do they take readings that first year?
Yeah, they set baseline readings. And right here, we should thank UPCO and SEMCO because they've been really cooperative about providing this data. So UPCO and SEMCO have aggregated their residential and municipal data. And that, you're asking how they track it. Georgetown University Energy Prize's website has a dashboard, and it's going to show all 50 contestants' baseline consumption data and then compare our progress between 2015 and 2016 to our baseline data. And that's how they're going to instrument the process. And they're instrumenting it because UPCO and SEMCO have graciously agreed to submit our use every quarter during this prize. And also, they've already submitted our baseload data.
Now, we're one of 50 communities in the second round. How many communities were competing just to get this far?
It really wasn't that well publicized, and only 52 contestants initially applied for it, as far as I understand.
Oh, okay. So, well, that has improved our odds of getting to the second round, but still for $5 million, what would that money be used for? Because I could use $5
billion. We're in the quarterfinalist stage. So there was the first round, the second round, and the third round that all kind of require different steps to be taken. So in the last round, we, Houghton County, and by the way, this is all of Houghton County, submitted an energy plan that had an initial idea of how to use the $5 million. But the Georgetown has said that if you change your mind about it as you go through, that's allowed too. So this initial plan was kind of a draft, but what we worked on and agreed to at that point was to set up a foundation, a fund at the Keweenaw Community Foundation with the $5 million, and then using the interest for energy efficient projects or helping to launch renewable projects or however the foundation would see fit to use the interest, as well as, a trust committee.
Yeah. So what round are we in now? We just still in the second round still?
We're in the quarterfinalist round.
Okay, so
there's semifinalist and quarterfinalist, though.
So. Okay, so when's the next round ready? When is it up?
This is actually the competition phase, and it is up in December, on December 31st, 2016.
Okay.
So we have a year and a half to really, really get some traction.
All right, good. Now, HEAT comes into this. This is the Houghton Energy. Go ahead. What is HEAT?
The Houghton Energy Efficiency Team. It's a community-led initiative to help reduce energy use and costs across the Copper Country.
Now, how does a program like that get involved? They have to go and hire a bunch of people to come and start staffing this and promoting it?
No, actually, and that's what sets us apart from actually all the other 49 contestants, is that we're all volunteers. We're all just people that really like to work hard, that have a great work ethic, and our team is very inclusive, and if you like to work hard and have a great work ethic, we sure could use your help in quite a number of areas. But HEAT basically formed in response to this, and the idea is that the Georgetown University Energy Prize is helping focus the community's eyes on its energy future. So energy efficiency is the first place to start that any responsible endeavor is going to use to start as a starting point. But as we have all of these changing landscapes across the UP's energy future, this is a really great place to help people have a conversation around these things and starting with energy efficiency.
That is what it's intriguing about this contest is, the community, as they're endeavoring to get noticed and make it to the subsequent rounds, they're really only helping themselves by, moving towards more energy efficient methods. So even if you don't, win the prize, you certainly have improved your community along the way.
Definitely. It's win-win-win. That's one of the neat things about it.
Another good thing about this particular endeavor is, a lot of people, when they think of, a community effort to, make the area more energy efficient, they think of, so somebody's going to build wind farms or somebody's going to install solar panels. Somebody else is going to do something about this. But what this is about, what each individual can do, the little things oftentimes that you can do to be a part of this effort. And without everybody, contributing and doing their little part in this, we're not going to win it. But worse is we're not going to achieve any improvements in our efficient use of energy.
That's absolutely correct. And we have this opportunity to really focus on the things that we can do here first, which is what gets you results, is starting with what you can do and what's in front of you. What's in front of us is a pre-1940s leaky housing stock that we can go through with our model and using volunteer labor, using people's... Actually, our ask is 3 hours, three times in the next year and a half. So if you can spare 3 hours in the next year and a half, three times, and go... Working with our system, we'll set you up at people's houses and for times, and we'll have the teachers that will show you how to do all the things that you need to do. After 9 hours, you are a ton more handy, and that's going to help you all the rest of your life in every place that you live. But not only that, you're also connected to this larger effort that the end result is going to be, has the potential to be a way better energy future for the area.
Well, how does one person make a difference?
Well, one person, I guess I want to backtrack and explain our model a little bit.
Sure.
We have two models. One is peer-to-peer, and the other is a pyramid model. So peer-to-peer is people getting together and having potlucks, and three households deciding that they're going to meet at each other's house, probably two times at each person's house, so six times. And in that amount of time, really make a difference on tightening up caulking, doing a rim joist seal, and other miscellaneous things that can be done. To tangent further, we have this 10-point winterization program that can be done in an average household for about $180. So groups of people getting together and doing it for sport and for fun and also for comfort and future energy savings is one really fantastic way to do it. The pyramid model is something, this is where the really majority of our effort is coming in, is working with service organizations to recruit trusted coordinators. And the trusted coordinator hopefully is going to be like an engineer who wants to work out, who wants to do a project for the community on the side, or retired engineers that really want to make sure that a house is done from top to bottom and start to finish. And what they do is they oversee three trained leads. And each of these leads has a focus on either caulking, and another focus is on a rim joist seal, which someday, maybe later, I can explain. And then there's also about five or six miscellaneous things that if you do will really tighten up your ship. Now, each of those trained leads, here's where how one person can make a difference. Each of those trained leads will really carefully show you how to do each of these aspects. And they're going to be showing each person how to do it. It'll take about 15 minutes to get into the groove and get educated on what needs to happen. And then the next 2.5 hours, because we're going back to that 3 hours, three times in the next year and a half model, the next 2 hours are really going to make a difference in somebody's house. So one person helping, working with this model, is actually 40 hours of work in 3 hours. So the homeowner gets to see an amazing difference of actually a full work week in 3 hours happening at their house. And that's pretty palpable. So that's pretty exciting. And then each house really legitimately needs at least two visits and possibly three. So that's where we come in with all of the organizing and coordinating and trying to figure out. And that's what we're working now, is to test the best model to how to deliver the most of these in the next year and a half. And over the summer, we're going to start with a small core group and develop our model. Actually small, might a medium group, and develop our model and tweak it and then really roll it out next fall.
I'm talking right now with Melissa Davis, who's the managing director of HEAT. And, you know, so it sounds like there's a lot of pieces that still need to fall in place. Do you have enough people to make this happen, or are you looking for people to step up and get involved with some of these leadership roles?
Well, we actually have these areas of coordination. Is it okay to go ahead and list them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Marketing and outreach. That includes media and social media, volunteer coordination, alternative energy coordination, fundraising coordination, government liaison coordination, energy efficiency, service organizations, landlord-tenant situation, and data management. And so out of the ones I've just listed, we have four of these areas of coordination filled, and marketing outreach has really gone to town. They're just like a solid core of hard workers that are volunteering their precious time to roll this effort out to its greatest advantage. But as far as leadership goes, we could really use some support or somebody that is interested in acting in the government liaison area of coordination, energy efficiency and service organizations, and the landlord-tenant situation, because if we solve that, or if we find a way to solve that, that will score us big points with Georgetown. And then also data management. So we don't really have a vacuum in these areas, but we sure could use people that are interested in working in them to help make them as strong as the areas that we actually have coordinators for.
And if somebody wants to help out, or they think they have some skills that you can use, what steps do they take? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, it would be really great if they could just give me a call, and my number is 281-5986. Or if they want to check it out a little bit and see the kind of ground we've made, you can go to energizehoughton.org. And there's also a volunteer sign-up sheet on that website. And if you want to know more about Georgetown and watch the dashboard across the country, that's GUEP.org, Georgetown University Energy Prize.
And we'll cover that contact information again at the end of this segment.
Great.
You can also follow updates on Facebook, because your Houghton Energy Efficiency team does post quite a bit of stuff on Facebook, if not daily, certainly quite often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go search Houghton Energy Efficiency Team on Facebook and like us, that would help a lot too. As it turns out, I think we have more likes than a lot of our competitors. In fact, we need a spy to go look at all our competitors and count their likes.
Now, individuals, because, where this battle is going to be won and lost is going to be in the homes, people's homes, and doing something different, changing the way that they go about their daily lives in order to be more energy efficient. So when we say, how can one person make a difference, talk about what that one person can do inside their homes to, help this effort.
Well, the number one thing is, and the goal of the people that have sponsored the purse, is to get people to change their habits and to do one actually accessible thing, which we're going to be working on how to instrument that. But I'd just like to start with number one. The number one thing you could do, and responsibly should do, if you're thinking especially about using renewables for future generation, is to tighten up your habits. And that's where we meet the brick wall of cultural conditioning that's, cues us to waste all the time. We don't think about it. As soon as we can, we're just quite a wasteful society. And that's, we've all been encouraged to do that through advertising and marketing. And just to backtrack, I just want to say that nobody can say how another person should live, and reducing consumption is really a challenging thing to do. Nobody's out to inventory anybody, but that all said, number one is, don't use electricity if you're not using electricity. So if you're not using that electricity, unplug it. Turn off your Wi-Fi at night. Get everything on power strips. Or if you're going to be gone all day, just unplug it. That would be the number one thing that, if you could start there and really train yourself to do that for the next year and a half, that's what's going to make those instrument bars go down.
And somebody might be asking, well, if it's off, how come, I need to worry about unplugging it? And I've heard, like, with their new flat screen televisions, that 70% of the power they use while they're off. because, all night long, it's sucking power the entire time that you're at work, you're using power. So, you know, that's, you think, well, because it's not on, you know, then I don't, you know, it's not using up energy. But yeah, anything that's got any kind of memory, whether it's a computer, your televisions, your stereos, all those things.
Game consoles.
Yep, they got a little red light on there.
Yeah, if it's got a red light on it, it's drawing phantom power is what it's called.
Another thing is people's phone chargers.
Totally.
You know, if you leave your phone, you plug in your phone and you put it on there and you leave it and it's fully charged and you're like, okay, good. I know it's fully charged, you know, for when 8 hours from now when I need to use my phone, it will be fully charged. Well, that whole 8 hours it's plugged in, your charger is working to charge your phone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So deciding to take that extra second not to do that, that's what you can do to help everybody win this prize. So that's the first thing. And it's not easy, but it's worth it.
Habits can be changed. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago, and I don't want to date myself too badly, but there were television ads that, I remember two of them. I remember them vividly. One of them was talking about styrofoam cups ending up in landfills. And then the other was the amount of water that you use when you're brushing your teeth if you don't turn the faucet on. And I was a fairly young man when these two ads were running, but I remember, you know, they were meant to be impactful, and it said, like, with the styrofoam cups, it talked about the millions of styrofoam cups that end up in the landfills and how long they take to degrade, biodegrade, and they said, just use a mug. You know, and you see it behind me is mug. You know,
nice.
That changed something because we had styrofoam cups at work. Mm-hmm. I simply started bringing in a mug with a lid on it and was using that. So it was a habit that was easily changed. I just had to make a conscious decision to change it. And to this day, it bothers me if the faucet's running while I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, nope, I don't got to turn it off. Shaving too. So it's not just running water, which I don't know really, again, how much water does one person waste while they're brushing their teeth or shaving. But that, you know, that was a habit that I changed because, you know, I listened to that ad that said, you know, how many gallons of water goes down your drain in a year's time when you're, you know, just simply because you don't click out the faucet while you're in the middle of brushing your teeth, because you don't need the water on there afterwards.
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah. So habits can be changed, like the ones that you're talking about. So what else can people do?
That should lead us into talking about our LED program. LEDs generally are 8.5 watts as opposed to incandescents, the same amount of lumens using 60 watts. So LED replacements, while they are more expensive, are really going to pay themselves off and save you money after they're paid off. And our nonprofit, New Power Tour, started in the area in 2006 and been doing a lot of really great winterizing programs. And it's been a lot of fun. Maybe some other day we can talk about service learning and the virtues and benefits of that. But we have a program in a really nice situation thanks to Efficiency United and the Public Service Commission and UPCO that we can supply you, if you live in a single-family home, with 8 LEDs. And what you need to do is see if you're income qualified. As it turns out, a really large percentage of our area is. And you can do that by browsing to our website and looking at the income qualifications. If you go to newpowertour.com/LED-program, or if you just go to newpowertour.com, it's the first link on the link bar on the left. And what's happening with that is we get to do double duty with these dollars because you get LEDs that you don't actually shell out any money for. And for every set of LEDs that we distribute, we get dollars that go directly towards materials. We get to put $40 towards materials for every family that receives LEDs. Also, if you live in an apartment, you get 5, but if you live in a house, you get 8. So most of the time, those dollars that would be given by Efficiency United to a contractor to give you this energy efficient upgrade, that would be the end of it. The LEDs, great. But in our case, we get to keep rolling that dollar over it back into the community towards energy efficiency. And that might be something that sets us apart for this prize because I just want to highlight the areas of the criteria that's being judged for Georgetown. And one of them is innovation and potential for replication. And as it turns out, the biggest thing that we have to add value is volunteer labor, because to spend 3 hours in a person's house and use 40 hours of labor at like a entry-level contractor, we'll say $10 an hour, that's $400 worth of labor that it would cost on top of the materials of $180. It would cost a homeowner $580 for one three-hour afternoon or evening shift, whereas we can make it happen with our program, paying for the materials at, you know, no expense, no cost. So, but the biggest thing that makes that happen and the driver that it couldn't happen without is the volunteer labor. So that's the exciting part. And then to also backtrack to what I was saying about the Georgetown University Energy Prize metrics, or the criteria that they're judging is 25% on performance. That's actually the gas and the electricity that we managed to not use over the next year and a half. But that's only a quarter of the total judging criteria. One of them, 15%, is innovation, and another 15% is potential for replication. So as we work together and originate these solutions, if they're replicable and innovative, we get rewarded. Another 10% is on likely future performance, which means it sort of has to have some staying power. And another 10% is on equitable access and community engagement. So delivering the winterizations to the people that need them the most, and how many people in the community really get into it. And then the last 10% is on education. As you can imagine, it's originating from a university, so the academic component is pretty key. All those add up to 100, and how well we do in each of those areas, it's what's being judged.
You mentioned the LED light bulbs. How does somebody get their hands on them?
Well, if you go to our website on the LED program, we have a secure file upload for gathering. What we need from you is your proof of income eligibility. So it can be a picture of a bridge card. It can be a social security letter. It can also be a tax return. But just want to say that if you upload that data, take a piece of paper, a white piece of paper and tape over your social security number, because we're not in the business of data collection at that level at all. And since it's going through the internet, we want to protect your privacy as much as possible. And that's one way you can do it. And then, so you have to upload your proof of income qualification and also upload a picture of your UPCO bill that has both your account number and your address on it. So you have to get close to your camera, take those shots, upload them, and fill out a form. And then what we will do is send you a voucher within the next few months. So there's a little bit of a wait. I apologize. But within the next few months, and then what you can do is take that voucher to either Ace Hardware in Calumet or Festival Foods in Houghton and pick up your LEDs. Now, if all of that just sounds like monumental work and the last thing you want to do, you can also go up to Ace Hardware between 10 and 2 on Saturdays, bring your UPCO bill, bring your proof of income, and then we can process you person to person there. So those two ways, for starters, and we're hoping to replicate that at Festival Foods. As soon as we get it really dialed in at Ace, then we're going to try to do the same thing over at Festi.
Well, certainly it seems like there's a lot of things that you can do, and an opportunity to learn more about what you can do in your home to, you know, winterize it, to, you know, make your home more energy efficient. And you might say to yourself that this sounds like a whole lot of work and I don't really want to do this. But we didn't really, you know, talk about the money that you would save. And if I was to show up on your front door, knock and say, if you spend, you know, these next 3 hours winterizing your home, I've got this check for X amount of dollars, you might be more willing to do it. So if you try to think about it that way, that, you know, this kind of works in reverse, you will be saving that money. But, you know, this, I guess in the same time, if I showed up at your house and I said, if you don't do this work, I need you to write me a check for X amount of money, then maybe you'd be more out. Oh, okay, I'll get to work right
Good
now.
Good point. I like that.
So, you know, it's definitely
I get to work right now.
It is definitely worth your time, and your effort will go towards, you know, helping Houghton County hopefully win this Georgetown University Energy Prize. And even if we don't win the prize, what we'll do as a community for energy efficiency is definitely going to be worth it. You mentioned a phone number and some website information if people wanted to find out more information. Could you give those back to us again?
Yes. If you have questions and want to know more about it, call me at 281-5986 or get on your computer and go to www.energizehotan.org. That will teach you more about what heat is up to and figure out how you might like to dial in. And then if you want to know more about the LEDs and upcoming really future great programs as well, go to newpowertour.com LED program.
Terrific.
I can give you more of that.
Okay. Melissa Davis, the Managing Director of Heat, joining us on this segment of Copper Country today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Thank you. I'd like to thank your audience for listening as well.
Sure thing. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.